So we're reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2, Ajamila delivered by the Vishnu Dutas, Text 12. Naikantikam tadhi krite piniskrite Mana punardhavati chedasat patem Tatkarma nirharam abhipsatam harer Gunanuvada kalusatva bhavana. Word for word translations. Not. Aikantikam. Absolutely cleansed. Tat. The heart. He. Because. Krite. Very nicely performed. Api, although, nishkrite, atonement, manaha, the mind, punaha, again, dhavati, runs, chit, if, asat pate, on a path of material activities, tat, therefore, Karma nirharam, cessation of the fruitive reactions of material activities. Abhipsatam, for those who seriously want. Harehe, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Guna anuvadaha, constant chanting of the glories. Kalu, indeed. Sattva bhavanaha, actually purifying one's existence. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The ritualistic ceremonies of atonement recommended in the religious scriptures are insufficient to cleanse the heart absolutely, because after atonement, one's mind again runs toward material activities. Consequently, for one who wants liberation from the fruitive reactions of material activities, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, or glorification of the name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord, is recommended as the most perfect process of atonement, because such chanting eradicates the dirt from one's heart completely. Purport. The statements in this verse have been confirmed previously in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 17. Srinvatam svakata krishna punya shravana kirtana hridyantosto hyabhadrani vidunati suhrit satam. Shri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul, in everyone's heart and a benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who relishes His messages, which are in themselves virtues when properly heard and chanted. It is the special mercy of the Supreme Lord that as soon as He knows that one is glorifying His name, fame, and attributes, He personally helps cleanse the dirt from one's heart. Therefore, simply by such glorification, one not only becomes purified, but also achieves the results of pious activities, punya shravana kirtana. Punya shravana kirtana refers to the process of devotional service. Even if one does not understand the meaning of the Lord's name, pastimes, or attributes, one is purified simply by hearing or chanting of them. Such purification is called sattva bhavana. One's main purpose in human life should be to purify his existence and achieve liberation. As long as one has a material body, one is understood to be impure. In such an impure material condition, one cannot enjoy a truly blissful life, although everyone seeks it. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam 551 says, Tapo divyam putrakayana satvam shudhayet. One must perform tapasya, austerity, to purify his existence in order to come to the spiritual platform. The tapasya of chanting and glorifying the name, fame, and attributes of the Lord is a very easy purifying process by which everyone can be happy. Therefore, everyone who desires the ultimate cleansing of his heart must adopt this process. Other processes such as karma, jnana, and yoga cannot cleanse the heart absolutely. Translation again. The ritualistic ceremonies of atonement recommended in the religious scriptures are insufficient to cleanse the heart absolutely, because after atonement, one's mind again runs toward material activities. Consequently, for one who wants liberation from the fruitive reactions of material activities, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, or glorification of the name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord, is recommended as the most perfect process of atonement, because such chanting eradicates the dirt from one's heart completely. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any questions? So I was thinking that in the purport, in the translation itself, it actually says that that this is the greatest method of atonement for any kind of sinful activity, and even for one who has been trained from childhood as a brahmana, that would be a great responsibility, actually. So in the case of Ajamila, he was trained as a brahmana from childhood. So in one sense, his fall down is quite serious, because if someone is just from the birth and lecha, you know, you don't expect from him much. So this is amazing, because this is the benediction that we have in Hare Krishna movement, or Lord Chaitanya's in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Because in other traditions, we have other religions also, they're spreading to some degree, but they're not getting purified that much. And the reason, main reason for that, I think, could be attributed to the fact that they're not chanting the Lord's names that much. The stress is not there so much. So we are very fortunate that we have been given this Maha Mantra in a disciplic succession. So, which gives it even more potency, which was spread by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is a pure devotee of the Lord. And it's interesting that Prabhupada, even himself, reading Lilamrita, we can see that he has tried in so many ways to establish different societies, and he was very prepared. He had all the plans ready, and you know, he had like a whole institution, at least in his mind, it wasn't manifested yet. And then he came to America, he was studying the people, and he just kept trying to get followers. But it's not actually until he sat down under a tree with a pair of kartals and started chanting the holy names that actually the movement took off, which is quite amazing. And yesterday we have heard, or the day before, I think it was yesterday, Bhakti Rabal Maharaj was saying how one of the godbrothers of Prabhupada has mentioned that the only reason why Prabhupada was so successful, that he had absolute faith in the holy names. So we can see the potency of the holy names even in our own lives. We don't need to go out in the streets to see the effect of the holy names on other people. You know, in our own lives, that's the greatest proof that we can have. I'll speak for myself. You know, I mean, I've done so many things in the past, and I never thought I'd give up even smoking. You know, what to speak of any other things. You know, and here I am, you know, dressed as a, you know, devotee and sitting in the Vyasa-san by some sort of weird arrangement. But anyway, we're all trying to be instruments. So, but also the heart, I can definitely feel that the heart is getting, you know, it's getting purified one way or the other. So that's the proof in itself. And we can also see that sometimes we all have experienced a glimpse of the amazing taste of the Holy Name. Everyone in this room, maybe not always, but at some stage, has experienced some nectar from the Holy Name, like ecstasy, you know. You just want to leap up in the air, or you want to die at the moment, you know, at that particular moment, and you just want to go back to Godhead. You know, that's it. Kill me now. You know. Like that King Kulakshekhar, you know, who's praying that, you know, I'm young now, I can chant Hare Krishna, you know, let me die now, because when I'm going to be at the deathbed, you know, who knows, I might not be able to say anything, you know, I'm going to be choked up, and who knows. But in saying that also, it's said that Krishna is so merciful that he never forgets his devotee. So at the time of death, he will actually forcefully enter the mind of a devotee. That's another amazing thing. And I have seen devotees, like I've participated in a funeral of Surabhi Prabhu. Surabhi Prabhu was the one who actually designed and built the Krishna Balaram temple. And so for 30 years, I don't know if he was in Maya, but he was definitely not an association of devotees. So he was doing some business. But then somehow or other, in the last 3 days of his life, he had cancer. He came to Vrindavan in a wheelchair, and he actually got enlightened. He started thinking, you know, maybe we should do this, and maybe we should do that. But then in 3 days, he left his body. So, but somehow or other, you know, even though he was away for 30 years, you know, because he has done the service, he has, you know, come back, and he left his body in Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. You know, that's a special mercy. And so many other examples like that. And so Ajamila somehow or other also had this opportunity to... It was an arrangement we actually heard. I've never heard this detail, that there was some sage that came and gave actually that name to Narayan, that son. I've never heard that before. So that's an interesting detail, because it also shows how, you know, it's Krishna's arrangement. You know, he, even though you don't want it, you know, you want to go into Maya, you know, you want to enjoy, but somehow or other, Krishna, because you've done some service, and you know, there was some sincerity, because Krishna never forgets. He always remembers that little sincerity that he had at a particular moment. Maybe it was just one moment of sincerity, you know, one time you said Hare Krishna in such a, you know, like, you know, at the purest you can do it, you know, your purest, you know, time. And so then, you know, he never forgets that. He's not like us, you know, just like a person can be doing so many good things, but then does one little thing and that's it, forget it, you're not my friend anymore, bye bye. Yeah, so Krishna will help us. We always have to have faith that Krishna is there as our best friend somehow or other. And so when we go out, we also see that. We also see that Krishna acts on other people. All the devotees that come to Krishna Consciousness Movement, they had prasadam and they heard the Holy Name one way or the other. So it's amazing how it works. I have heard from one devotee, though, that when we go out on Harinam, there's different moods, but one of them is that we should not consider ourselves as, you know, here I am, I'm a pure devotee, you know, I'm delivering all these fallen souls. You know, we're acting as instruments. And so we're actually going for our own purification as well. So when we go out and we chant, you know, we should first of all chant for our own benefit. Because it is said that the best thing we can do is to save ourselves first. Because that's our prime duty. And then if we have opportunity, ability and so forth, we can also help others. But the funny thing is that by helping others, we help ourselves the most, because it's said that there are three types of people who are learning. One person is who is just listening to a class or whatever, and then he gets some benefit, and a person who listens and he asks some questions, he gets more benefit, and the person who speaks. So I'm speaking here for myself, for my own benefit, my own purification. So he gets the most benefit because he, you know, he studied and he needs to understand it a little bit more, sort of. So chanting of the holy names is one of the five most potent forms of devotional service, as described in Nectar of Devotion by Srila Rupa Goswami. And I guess there is a bit of an argument which one is the most important of those five, but a lot of devotees agree that it's chanting the holy names, because when devotees get together, it's chanting of the holy names. When we read Bhagavatam, it's full of the holy names. When we live in the holy dharma, it means, you know, we chant the holy name. And what was the last one? Residing. So, yeah, devotees? Yeah. Deity worship, yeah, that's the one. So when we worship the deities, we'll also chant the holy names. But some devotees say that a devotee association is the most important. Because without devotee association, nothing else comes. You know, like, you can... So it really, from where you stand, it really depends on that. There's an interesting point about the melodies and everything that we use to support the Maha Mantra one way or the other, and that's those are like the vehicles, the cars that, in which the Maha Mantra drives in, the Radha and Krishna drive in, or the coating of a pill that one takes, you know, medicine in. So, you know, we can chant so many nice melodies, which is great, especially for preaching, because people don't really understand, you know, so much the internal and esoteric, you know, truth. The holy name will affect them anyway, but they might not exactly join at that time. But anyway, they will probably eventually, because the holy name works, whether it's chanted, you know, in a nice tune or not so nice tune, off tune. But it's like one has to chant purely, which means that one has to be in a kind of prayerful mood, and not just enjoying the holy names and enjoying the attention that he gets from the crowd. Because it's like having a Ferrari without a driver in it. It's just a piece of junk. You know, but when you have a driver in it, it drives so nicely, you know, it can just go so fast and so forth. So that's like having Radha Krishna in that Ferrari, you know, or in that vehicle. So we have to always place them there and not forget about it somehow or other. So, and obviously Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is a ultimate doctor who knows the ins and outs of this material creation, and he knows our conditioning. So he gives us the medicine. And the way to take that medicine, he expresses it in a Shikshashtaka, more or less. So he's saying that, you know, this is a prime benediction for the whole humanity, and all glories to the Sri Krishna Sankirtana movement. But then he, you know, he's showing how we should be chanting. He develops this understanding that, you know, hey, you know, this is like the best thing ever, you know, and I don't have any taste for it. I don't really want to do it, you know, like nam namakara, you know, like Krishna has invested all the potencies in the holy names, but yet I'm so unfortunate that I don't have any attachment to chanting those names. And then from that understanding, the humility comes that, you know, Trinada Pisunichana, that I can only chant this holy name if I'm actually really humble, like lower than, you know, blade of grass and more humble than a tree, and I give all respect to others rather than having respect to myself. And I can personally feel that when I'm in that mood, the chanting is really amazing. Joy. So there is obviously many, many verses that are glorifying the holy names. And Jai Shishi Panchatattva Ki Jai Shishi Goranitai Ki Jai Jai. There is a verse that goes Namachintamani Krishnas, that Krishna's name is like the Chintamani, so it can fulfill all desires. And it's true, we can see that devotees have their desires fulfilled, but the spiritual desires. Krishna doesn't give everything to everyone. He gives what one needs and takes away what one doesn't need. And then is really nice part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Antya Lila, chapter 20, from verse 10 and onwards. This verse is also in Bhagavatam, but it's also repeated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangasra Parshadam Yange Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumeda Saha, that in the age of Kali, the intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. And I'll read a little piece from a purport that was given by Srila Prabhupada on that verse. Srila Jiva Goswami cites a verse from the Vedic literature that says that there is no necessity of performing sacrificial demonstrations or ceremonial functions. He comments that instead of engaging in such external pompous exhibitions, all people, regardless of caste, creed, or color, can assemble together and chant Hare Krishna to worship Lord Chaitanya. Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam indicates that prominence should be given to the name Krishna. Lord Chaitanya taught Krishna consciousness and chanted the name of Krishna. Therefore, to worship Lord Chaitanya, everyone should together chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. To propagate worship in churches, temples, or mosques is not possible because people have lost interest in that. But anywhere and everywhere, people can chant Hare Krishna. Thus, worshipping Lord Chaitanya, they can perform the highest activity and fulfill the highest religious purpose of satisfying the Supreme Lord. Isn't that amazing? Just by chanting Hare Krishna, you satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then so many auspicious things evolve from that. We can see so many bits and pieces of Vedic culture infiltrating into the West, for example. You know, we have so many yoga studios, so many vegetarians now. People are really into their health. You know, like, and but it wasn't there before. You know, people used to do so many nonsense things. In New Zealand, they're trying to become a smoke-free country. You know, they had idea by 2020, but now it's 2025. But at least they're working on it. You know, it's amazing. Anyway. It's just, yeah. So, and then, there's devotees, obviously, and people are more interested in the karma and karma-free food, and, there are vegans, they're trying to protect animals, and like anyone else, the initial stages of any beginning is a bit fanatical. You know, like, they don't understand the fact that, that you can care and love the cow and then have the milk. You know, it's not about not having milk or having milk, it's about, protection of the cows and protection of other animals. And so this process, chanting Hare Krishna, is so amazing that it actually engages all of our senses. Especially when we chant, I guess, in front of the deities, then our eyes also engage definitely in the worship of the Lord. But otherwise, our hearing, our body, when we dance, our mind, intelligence, everything is engaged, and then there is no prajalpa. When there is kirtan going on, no one is talking about anything. All the problems go away as well. My bills, my family problems, everything. It just, when you really absorb in the holy names, then it's like that. But then when the kirtan stops, immediately there is noise coming up everywhere. And everyone's talking about so many different things. It's not bad. It's just the effect of the holy name is such that it really absorbs everyone. And so if we practice this on a daily basis, and we have to do it on a daily basis, and not just, best if we do more than 16 rounds. 16 rounds is just the minimum. I have asked once a devotee, Prabhupada, you know, should we chant more than 16 rounds? And he said, no, why? Prabhupada says 16 rounds, you know, we don't need to chant more than that. I was very surprised. Because Prabhupada always says minimum 16 rounds. You know, and then engage in the Harinam Sankirtan. That's very nice in the temple or at home with your family, with your kids, your wives, husbands, parents. And then go out to the streets and engage with others. And then when you go to sleep, all you hear is the holy name. And when you wake up, all you hear is the holy name. Which means that, you know, Anta Kale Chamame Vas Maran Muktva Kalevaram Yapra Yati Samad Bhavam Yati Nastyatra Samshaya. You know, that at the time of death, whatever we remember, we attain that. And Krishna is saying that actually, if you remember me at the time of death, you will come to me. Of this there is no doubt. You know, so it's a sure process. And there's so many, there's some verses in Bhagavad Gita like Satatam Kirtayanta Mam Yatantash Chadrit Havrataha Namasyantash Chamam Nityam Tushyanti. Oh, sorry, Nitya Yukta Upasata. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. So it's just the glories of the holy names. And Krishna says that all the austerities, he is japa, japosmi. So and we have amazing transformational stories in the Vedic literatures and from Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. We have Valmiki Muni, who is one of the amazing examples of the power of the holy names. He was chanting Mara, which means death. You know, he's going, Mara, 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 Mara. He was such a great, you know, criminal, basically, that he couldn't even chant Rama, you know. He was, like, so against it, you know. When we go out to the streets, you know, people are just, like, closing their ears and running away, you know. So he was, like, much worse than that. So he was, like, sitting there, death, 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 you know. It's like some sort of heavy metal, you know, some really, some really heavy dude, you know, you could say. And so, you know, he was chanting that, and because there was Nama Bas going on from that, he got purified, and he got purified so much that he gave shelter to Mother Sita, you know, and she had her two sons born in his ashram. You know, so it's pretty far out. And he wrote the most authoritative Ramayana that is available to us. So that's an amazing transformation. And then there was a story of Mrigare the Hunter. Narada Muni has explained to him and shown him, you know, what's going to happen to him and so forth. So he basically, you know, resided at the bank of the Ganges, I think, with his wife, and he was just mostly chanting holy names in front of Tulsi. That was Narada Muni's instruction. And then at some stage, Narada Muni came with Parvata Muni there, and then Mrigare the Hunter saw him, and he was like walking towards him, but then he saw all these ants, so he was like walking very, you know, awkwardly. And but Parvata Muni said, you know, it's no wonder. He was like, he wasn't even surprised, you know, because he knows the glories of the holy name, you know, that, and if someone, you know, is engaged in chanting the holy name under the instruction of their spiritual master, which means that it comes directly in the disciplic succession, like from directly from the powerhouse, then it's very powerful. So there's no surprise there, really. Tamal Krishna Maharaj once said that said if anyone chants the holy name for half a year, and it takes part in bhakti yoga process, he like moves into the temple, he follows the program, you know, he chants the rounds, he does some service, and if in half a year that person, you know, doesn't have any transformation, he'll give him like $1 million or something like, or 10 million, something like that. That was Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He probably would do that, because Tamal Krishna Maharaj is, you know, like a man of word, you know. He'd say he'd do it, you know. So he was so confident, you know, that this process works, you know. So anyone, you take anyone, you put them for half a year through this program, there will be, you know, great purification happening. And, yeah, I guess people are afraid of that. And then also in the Mahabharata, there was Draupadi. She called out Krishna's name twice, at least, that I really remember easily. Once when Durvasa Muni came to the ashram, when Duryodhan directed Durvasa Muni to Pandava's ashram in the forest, just after the time they would have had lunch, and so they wouldn't have any prasadam to feed Durvasa Muni, because Draupadi would have eaten. They had this pot that would produce unlimited amount of prasadam until Draupadi has eaten something. So she has already taken some prasadam, and then Durvasa Muni came, and then they send them for the bath. And then Draupadi was just in complete anxiety. She didn't know what to do, so she started calling out, "Govinda, Govinda, Krishna, Krishna." And Krishna was her friend, so Krishna appeared in the forest out of nowhere. What would Krishna do there? You know, just at that time. So he came there just because of her calling, of course. He knew what was happening. And so he had like a little piece, like spinach or something, stuck to the pot somewhere, and he like, or a grain of rice, they say, different things. And so he had that, and yeah, and then Durvasa Muni and all the disciples, they had their stomachs bloated up, they had burped, I guess, and then got scared and ran away because they didn't want to commit any offense to the Pandavas. And so the other time is the famous time when she was disrobed in the assembly of the Kurus, and it is said that Krishna wasn't helping her. So that's, I guess, the pastime that shows that we need to chant with purity, or that Krishna brings us to that moment when we actually chant with purity, because he wants to see, you know, like he wants to bring us to that edge, you know, when you're just like completely, you don't have any other shelter but him. And so then he gloriously comes and saves the day. Like in the case of Draupadi, she was trying to take shelter of all these other, you know, senior members of the Kuru dynasty, you know, Bhishma, you know, Dronacharya, Kripacharya, you know, all of them. Even their husband, you know, Yudhishthira is Dharmaraj. You know, like, sometimes you would think, you know, what was he thinking about? You know, but anyway, you know, so this was a pastime, of course. And so somehow or other, and Bhima was even controlled as well. Like, his older brother told him not to do it, but, you know, Krishna, you know, he was like uncontrollable, you know, in a sense. He would just like devour everybody there. But anyway, So no one would do anything, and then you know, they started to, Dusashan started to disrobe her, and then she just threw her hands in the air and just, you know, just called out to Krishna, you know, Govinda, you know, and then Krishna provided unlimited sari, of course, and, you know, saved the day. And then another interesting story was Sanatan Goswami in the Chintamani jewel. There was a Brahmin. Everybody probably heard this story, but anyway. It was a Brahmin. No, it wasn't a Brahmin. I'm not sure who he was anyway. He was a person. There was a person who was, from childhood, he was like really looking for this, you know, jewel, Chintamani, that would turn everything into gold, and he would become so rich, and he would become so famous, and so forth. You know, and he was like whole life, like the Ponce de Leon, looking for the fountain of youth or something. You know, you know, so he was looking for this Chintamani jewel. And then finally in Vrindavan, which is also interesting because Vrindavan is the, you know, there's a couple of riksha trees and everything. So he must have, you know, walked past some of the trees and wanted this jewel. So somehow or other someone told him that actually Sanatan Goswami has one. That was Lord Shiva. they told him that. Then he goes to Sanatan Goswami and he asks for the jewel, and Sanatan Goswami says, yeah, it's just in the rubbish bin there, you can just have a look if you find it, you know. So he finds it in the rubbish bin, he goes away, and, you know, he starts turning everything into gold, and he's so happy and ecstatic. But then after some time, when he had enough of this enjoyment, he actually had some sense, you know. He was thinking, wow, you know, Sanatan Goswami was sitting there, and, you know, that stone was in the rubbish bin, he must have something better. So then he came, and Sanatan Goswami was like, nah, you don't really want it, you know, like, but if you want it, okay, you have to throw the stone into the river. And then this person was really torn between the two, you know. He had this precious jewel that he was, you know, trying to get all his life, all his energy was put into that. And then, you know, he eventually threw it off, and Sanatan Goswami initiated him into chanting the holy names. Amazing. And so I'll finish with this, which is the nectar of instruction. There are two verses 7 and 8. They talk about chanting of the holy names. And Srila Rupa Goswami is saying that the holy name and everything that is related to Krishna, which is his forms and pastimes and activities, they're all sweet like the sugar candy. But he compares our condition to jaundice, our conditioning, our enjoying spirit, our rebellious mentality, our envy of Krishna as a jaundice. And when you're sick with jaundice, all the sugar tastes bitter. So when you take the sugar, when you see the Harinam, you close your ears and you run away. That means you have this jaundice. So, but by taking that sugar, by hearing about Krishna, by chanting his names, this avidya, this envy, and everything like that, all this negative, material conditioning, it just goes away. As Maharaj was saying also, this verse is saying that it destroys everything at the root, which means you don't want to do anything anymore. It's like some people are... anyway, I was wondering, and then I had this realization which came through the Shastra, that a person, like they say, a Raganuga Bhakta, for example, right? Word Raganuga. Raganuga Bhakta, he's not interested, he's spontaneous, he doesn't follow any rules and regulations. You know, what does that mean? Does that mean he does whatever, you know, nonsense all the time? No, it means that a person who is actually purified in his consciousness and his activities and so forth, he actually doesn't have any desire to do anything wrong. So all he does all the time, spontaneously, is follow the rules and regulations. But he doesn't feel like he has to follow the rules and regulations. You know, first thing he wakes up in the morning, he wants to take bath, he goes and he worships the deities, he chants the holy names. He doesn't have to think, oh, now I have to take bath, now because my Guru Maharaj told me, I have to chant my rounds, you know, I have to see the deities. You know, he does it spontaneously because he wants to do it. So that's what it means to be on the Raganuga platform. And so that's what it means then when the material desires are destroyed at the root. Which means you don't have those desires anymore. That's it. They're gone. They don't come up anymore. And so, last verse was... I'll just read it out. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, which is 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Vraja and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. And of course, in the 12th chapter, there is beautiful description of the Kali Yuga. I have finally found myself in the Bhagavatam. I was looking, where am I? In this book, you know, so many devotees are great saints are described, and I was thinking, what about me? You know, here I was. So, and there is, right in the end of that third chapter of the 12th canto, Shukadeva Goswami is saying, my dear king, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Hare Krishna. Maybe any corrections, questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu. From Uganda.
Can you share, do you have any like experiences from Harinam or your experiences with chanting the holy name that you can share with us?
Mm. I guess I don't have such a far out one as you have described the other day, which was a real transformation of that guy in the underground. I have an amazing transformational story of myself. That's one of the stories. Because since I joined the Hare Krishna movement, since I came in contact with devotees, I was going out on Harinam, and I know that for myself, definitely had so many different desires and so many bad habits. Even the language itself was quite foul, you know, using all the swearing and, you know, all these different things, and what to speak of, you know, party lifestyle, you know, and taking different intoxications and things like that. So it definitely worked for me, and I'm somehow, I personally feel it engages all my senses, and when I'm in Harinam, I'm the happiest. That's the happiest time of my life, when I'm out chanting the holy names, or even with devotees also in the kirtan. It's nice, but it's more fulfilling, I guess, when you go out and you actually see other people chanting as well. That's the most fulfilling. I'm actually really grateful to the Harinam Ruchi team, who have actually opened my eyes a little bit more on how to perform the service of Harinam, which is really amazing in the way that they really try to engage people in the Harinam, in the Yuga Dharma. Because one thing is to, and it's also working, there's nothing wrong with it, to just do a procession. You know, when you just go through the streets and you just chant the holy names, you know, it's wonderful, it has its effect, and it's amazing. But when you actually try and be personal with people, you actually try and get them to repeat the holy name after you, you get them to dance, to participate in Lord Chaitanya's movement. You know, this is incredible. That's going to change their lives forever. You know, the other day we were walking and there were two girls walking towards us, and Rajendra just like grabbed them and started dancing with them. And I could see they just lit up. They just like, they were in ecstasy. You know, they were just literally, they couldn't believe it. You could see they just couldn't. They were like looking at each other like, what is this? You know, like, this is amazing. You know, some people come up and they cry, you know, and they say like, you know, what's happening? What is this? You know, why am I crying? What are you doing to me? You know, this is the effects of the Harinam. And a little bit esoteric point, I guess, on that is that actually Harinam Sankirtan is nothing other than the Rasa dance. But it's the Rasa dance of Lord Chaitanya. And it's actually, I mean, if you think about it, that's why we feel so happy. That's why people feel so happy, because this is the highest enjoyment in the spiritual world, reflected as an enjoyment, the real bona fide enjoyment, like, or, you know, yeah, enjoyment. You can't not enjoy Harinam. I'm sorry. But you're enjoying it through Krishna. You're enjoying it through, you know, service. And so this is like that, you know, the banyan tree that is reflected, you know, like you have the highest point is, you know, the love of Radha and Krishna, and then in a reflection, you know, the further you go, which is love between a man, you know, a guy and a lady, you know, it's the furthest away from, you know, the top point of the spiritual world. This is the top point of the material world, so it's the furthest, you know, from the spiritual world. But this Harinam Sankirtan, it's actually, you know, taking us right there, but in the material world. So, and it's the ultimate purification.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Okay. Any other questions, comments, anything? When is Harinam today? We shall find out soon. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hare Hare.